Right. See, everybody was turned to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to finish up the message on following the steps of Jesus, Lord being our helper this morning. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. No. Verse 21. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour we've already had. Thank you for the good songs that's been sung, Lord. And I just pray now that you'd help us as we go into this preaching hour, Lord, that you stir our hearts around the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to hearts this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here or watching by the way of the webcast that may not know you as their Savior, Father, I pray that this might be the day that they'll come to trust you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, we need you this morning. We need your touch, your help. Lord, I pray that you just ever anoint our lips of clay. Just give us the right words to say. Lord, stir our hearts around this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for loving us and dying for us and shedding your blood. Thank you for giving us a home in heaven, those songs that we've been singing about, Lord, are becoming more real every day, Father, to some of us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd ever help us to realize the great price that was paid. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. There, verse 21 again says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And we've been looking at that thought of following the steps of Jesus for the last couple of services. And we looked first there on Sunday morning at the priority of the saved there in verse 21. We looked at our obligation to follow the Lord Jesus and to try to please Him in our life as we're here in this earthly journey. And Peter here states that there's no glory in us being patient in rebuke but for our faults, but it brings glory to God when we suffer for our faith and continue patiently in our walk with Him. And we looked at three things why we should patiently endure the suffering for our faith. And we've seen the first thing there was in verse 21. The Bible says that we were called. He said, "For even hereunto were ye called." So we've been called for a specific purpose in our life. And that's to patiently suffer if God calls upon us to suffer for it. Now, as we've already stated, there's no glory if we're buffeted for our faults that we have in this life, if we patiently endure that. But when we try to do the right thing and we try to live for Jesus, we try to walk with Jesus, we try to follow in His steps, and then we begin to suffer, it's another thing then to suffer and to glorify God and accept that suffering as being pleasing unto Him in our walk with Him. And then we've seen that we are called, verse 21, but then we're confronted also there in verse 21. He said, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." I think Christ was our perfect example of suffering. Jesus walked for 33 and a half years on this earth, and He never harmed anyone. He come to please His Father, and we find that He suffered. He dealt with situations in His life. And we've been confronted with the example that Jesus has set to us to follow in His footsteps. And then I believe that we've been charged to. He said, it goes on and says, "leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. I believe in reality that you and I that are saved, that are born again, that's trusted Christ as our Savior, hey, we've received the good grace of God into our lives. Hey, we've been charged to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on Sunday night, we looked at the purity of the Savior there in verses 22 through 23. And we looked at, first of all, His character there in verse 22. The Bible said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. So we looked at His character, the perfect Son of God. I believe in the impeccability of Christ. I don't believe He could have sinned if He'd wanted to, because He was God, manifested in the flesh. Hey, but we find that He was sinless in His walk here on this earth. Now we know that we're all made of flesh, and there's no man that doeth good and sinneth not. I mean, that's just the way it is. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, but Jesus Christ, He was the sinless Son of God. He set the example that He conquered all the temptations that you and I, and the Bible tells us that yet He was without sin. So we looked at His character. We looked at His communication. Neither was there guile found in His mouth. I mean, His communication was right. It was upright. He never reviled with cursing or any thing in it that come out of His mouth. Like we respond a lot of times. We just automatically, when something happens, we want to respond. We face it every day. I mean, it's hard to even come to church sometimes if you're dealing with things to not respond irrationally with your mouth, because that's what this tongue wants to do. We want to lash out when somebody lashes out at us. But just Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, He was pure in His character. He was pure in His communication, and He was pure in His conduct. There in verse 23 also He says, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. I mean, the Lord Jesus suffered like no other man has ever suffered. He was scourged there on the scourging post. He was rejected of men. I mean, He was homeless. The Bible tells us He had nowhere to lay His head. And even though in all of that, His conduct was impeccable as He walked this earth with the disciples. And then we see not only His character and His communication, and we looked at His conduct, but we looked at His commitment there in verse 23 also. Said, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Can I say this morning, if there's ever been a time that you and I, as believers, and trying to follow the steps of Jesus, that we need to commit our lives to Him on a daily basis and regular in our walk with Him, hey, we need to be committed to Christ today. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. That old saying that we've heard many times, and they're looking to see people that has commitment. I mean, we can't even come to church and get our minds from things of the world for just a little while. We can't even commit ourselves to come in, listen to what God's trying to say to us, be a part of the service, try to make the service what God wants it to be in our obedience. We're uncommitted today. This is the most uncommitted society that I've ever seen. And church members that's been saved, we're just uncommitted the way that we should be committed. And so we want to look at the last thing this morning and on this thought of following in the steps of Jesus as we go through this life. And as we consider our Lord and the expectation for us to follow His example, it can seem a bit overwhelming at times in our own life. How's it possible for us to do such a thing as to follow in the steps of Jesus? Well, we can't, I don't believe, this morning within ourselves. It'll take the presence and power of God working in our lives if we're going to ever follow in the steps of Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's so many distractions today that will try to distract you from following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look. That brings us here to the last point in this thought this morning. And the only way that we can follow in His steps, I believe, is by the provision of the Savior. There in verses 24 through 25. The Bible says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." I believe these two verses reveal much concerning the provision that Jesus made for each and every one of us this morning. He died on the cross, and had it not been for Calvary and the blood that was shed to atone for your sins and my sins this morning, hey, we'd be hopelessly lost forever. Hey, we sing those songs about heaven this morning, and the older you get, I promise you, the more it's going to become a reality of what Jesus has prepared for us. And the only way that we're going to go and be able to experience heaven is because of the cross and the provision that Jesus made there on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Often the only time we think about the cross is around Easter time. I'm going to tell you, the cross has forever changed the history of society across this land some 2,000 years ago. Hey, that Nazarene, he walked up that hill of Golgotha. He bore that cross. He laid down his life. And it's forever changed this world and the way we have a relationship with God. And it's good to be reminded, I believe, of the events that took place as well as the provision that was made there on the cross. We see the preaching of the cross, if you think about it, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which believe, it is the power of God." I'm going to tell you, this world, hey, they think the preaching of the cross this morning, a man dying on the cross for the sins of the world, hey, it's foolishness to men and women that have never experienced in detail in their life and personally of what took place there on the cross. It's foolishness to them. For us to get up, they'll call it a bloody religion, and it is bloody. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know you're not redeemed with corruptible things received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." It's hard for people to believe that the cross and the blood that was shed there can give them eternal life. Man basically wants to do something to get to God. I mean, man wants to turn over a new leaf. He wants to do something that will give him the privilege of thinking that he's accomplished something that's going to gain heaven. That he's done good enough. That God's going to accept him. But it's only through the cross. It's only through the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, hey, that men and women, boys and girls are going to be able to go to heaven one of these days. And that's foolishness, this world. You'll find just about every denomination, there's some type of works that man has to do. But we see the provision of the Savior. We see the provision of Calvary and the death of Jesus, the Savior, that He provided our substitute. He provided our substitute. There in verse 24, He said, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree." Calvary was a personal experience for Jesus. And it must be a personal experience for you and I this morning. I mean, the Lord Jesus bore our sins in His own body. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Not just one or two, not just for the elite. Hey, but He tasted death for every man. Hey, Calvary was a personal experience for Jesus, and it's got to be a personal experience for you and I this morning. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins, and He bore your sins and the sins of this world as He went up and laid down His life freely there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 said, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, hey, but also for the sins of the whole world." That word propitiation means to be a sacrifice, the covering, the satisfaction, the payment, and the appeasement for our sins. up until the point that Jesus came into this world and laid down His life. All those blood of the bulls and goats could never take away completely the sin of the one that brought them. All it could do was cover them up, and it could push them on up till the next year when that high priest would first go into the holy place. He'd take blood for his sins and then the sins for the people and offer for the atonement of men. And it just was the covering for the sins for that past year until the next year would come up when they'd have to go through that all again. But I'm glad that Jesus came, Brother Darrell, and He was the Lamb that was slain, hey, before the foundations of the world. Hey, you know, we like to think a lot of times of all those sacrifices and things that took place and what they were going through. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus came into this world one time. He went to the cross one time. He shed His blood one time. And all those multiple blood of bulls and goats could never take away. It's pretty pictures of what was coming. That perfect Lamb of God that would be sacrificed. But I'm glad the Lord's sacrifice turned away the wrath of God and brought reconciliation to you and I this morning. We could never have achieved that within ourselves. I mean, we could have brought, if we was having to bring cattle this morning and livestock to church and offer sacrifices, hey, we could never achieve that within ourselves and for ourselves. Hey, but I'm glad that the Lord's sacrifice, He took away the wrath of God, and because of that, that work that was performed on Calvary, I'm glad that you and I'll never have to face the wrath of God. We won't have to face the wrath of hell. Hey, we won't have to face the wrath of the tribulation period. Hey, men and women, boys and girls, they think they're living it up. Hey, the government thinks they got control of this thing. But I'm going to tell you, hey, there's coming a day when the trumpet's going to sound. Hey, Jesus is coming and we're going up and we're getting out of here. And there's going to be wrath that's going to be poured out on this earth that's never been experienced before. And we can see it getting here. We can see it getting close every day as we look around and we see the things that's taking place. We could have never achieved that within ourselves. I'm glad this morning that the Lord Jesus became our substitute. He took the death that you deserved and that I deserved and that men and women, boys and girls deserved. And He laid His life down freely and He became our substitute. Not only did He become our substitute, but number two, He provided our salvation. He provided our salvation. The second part of that verse says that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That we could live unto righteousness. Beginning with the first of God's creation, I believe a sin entered into the hearts of mankind. Because of that initial sin, all of us were born into sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's hard to get a man to admit that he's sinned today. It's hard to get a person to see, hey, that they're a sinner, that they're offensive to God, hey, without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, as I've already said, wants to do something, hey, that he might win God's favor, that he might win a place in heaven. Hey, but let me tell you, hey, that Jesus provided our salvation. Hey, there's nothing that you can do that I can do, hey, to merit God's favor. It's only because of God's grace this morning, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, hey, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus. The only way you can do that is accepting God's free gift of salvation. Hey, what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, hey, let me say, Jesus bought back on the cross of Calvary. The Lord was the only one who could make our salvation possible this morning. He provided our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 to 22 said, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." He provided my salvation. He provided your salvation in the thousands and millions of people, hey, that's come by the way of the cross since the time of the cross. Hey, we're purchased through the blood of Jesus and the work, finished work of Calvary that He accomplished there that day. A lot of people trying to skirt Jesus. You're not going to skirt Jesus. Everybody, some people say, hey, all roads lead to heaven. It don't matter what you believe, long as you believe something. That's not true. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." Hey, you're not going to skirt Jesus and go to heaven. God sent the best that He had for heaven's work, and you're going to come His way or you're not going. And you know, people don't realize how serious salvation is. They don't realize how serious the end of this life as we know it is, and what you've done with Jesus is all going to boil down to the pure, simple fact, what have you done with Christ? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Have you accepted His free gift? Men and women have been preaching that men and women are lost on their way to heaven for thousands of years, and people have been accepting Christ. And let me say, hey, until Jesus comes, we need to keep preaching the gospel message, the good news that Jesus came. Hey, He walked this earth. He died. He was buried and resurrected again the third day. That's basically the gospel in a nutshell, the death, burial, and resurrection. And, you know, men and women, boys and girls, stumble over the simplicity of Christ. Hey, I'm glad that the gospel is so simple, and what Jesus did to provide our salvation that a little boy or a little girl can understand. It amazes me sometimes to look at the testimony of some of these missionaries, and they say, tell their testimony how they got saved when they were 4 years old. 4 years old. Did you know Mason is old enough to understand that Jesus loved him and He died and shed His blood? And if there hadn't been another human being on this earth that was coming in this world besides Mason, that Jesus was willing to do that? And that He can give him the faith to trust Christ as his Lord and Savior? It's that simple. And men and women and boys and girls stumble over the simplicity that's in Christ and what He's done in providing our salvation this morning. If there's ever been a time the gospel needs preached, I believe it's today. If there's ever been a time that we need to support missionaries and send them to the uttermost parts of the world, hey, it's the day and hour that we're living in. There's men and women, boys and girls that's lost in other countries that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And until that last one hears the good news that Jesus loved them and that Jesus died for them and that Jesus shed His blood, until that last one hears, hey, we're going to be left here to go through all these tribulations and problems. And then during that time, we need to be following in the steps of Jesus and doing what we can to get men to Christ. He provided our salvation. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, He provided that for you. If you're saved, He gave His all for you. The Bible said that God put your sins and my sins on the back of Jesus as He hung there. All the wicked sins that you can think about, hey, was burdening Him down there as He laid down His life for you and I. He provided our salvation. He provided our settlement. Number three. He said, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." The healing here that's spoken of literally means to cure, to make whole, hey, to free from error and sin. The suffering and the death that Jesus endured, they brought about our healing. It brought about the cure for our sin. It set a captive race free from bondage. This whole world was under bondage, but because of His stripes, hey, we're that have believed, we that have trusted Christ as our Savior, hey, we're healed, we're cured. I've said this a lot of times. Hey, I'm glad I'm never going to stand before God for sin. Hey, Jesus judged sin on Calvary. And when God looks at me, and when He looks at you, if you're saved by the grace of God, all He sees is the blood of His Son. I'm talking about following in the steps of Jesus. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living reasonable service. Hey, it's only reasonable that we follow in the steps of Jesus. It's only reasonable that we suffer for our faith in this life. Hey, we're not guaranteed to never suffer. We're not never guaranteed to have no problem. Hey, but because of what Jesus did, because He purchased our settlement, and because He became sin for you and I, we should follow in His steps. All that sin had damaged and the hindrances, hey, that it had caused were right and justified as Christ hung upon the cross. If we can ever wrap our hands, our thoughts around that fact that everything that we had ever committed and ever sinned that had separated us from God, hey, was made right and Jesus settled it on the cross, it'd make you shout for the rest of the year. And into the next life. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. So we see He's our settlement, by whose stripes you were healed. Notice, not only He became our substitute and He provided our salvation, and provided our source of power over sin. Hey, but also this morning and lastly, He's our shepherd, verse 25. He's our shepherd, or He should be. He should be. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Peter here portrays you and I as sheep that have gone astray. Those who have wandered from the safety and the provision of the flock and are no longer under the care and protection of the shepherd. And the Lord's sheep can be restored unto the fold. Hey, we read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I'm glad that we have a shepherd this morning, and if we'll follow Him, if we'll walk with Him on a daily basis, I mean, He'll guide us into those green pastures. He'll lead us into the paths of righteousness. Hey, anybody that's not walking in the paths of righteousness, not grazing in those green pastures, hey, they're not being led by Jesus. A lot of times those sheep, they say those sheep, when the shepherd's out there, some of them would wander away from the fold. And sometimes there were some of them that were stubborn and rebellious, and He'd have to keep going and getting those sheep, and He'd bring them back to the fold. And if they kept on going away and getting into a path of danger, they said that that shepherd would go out and he'd get it, and he would break that little lamb's leg, and he would fix it, and he would splint it, and then he would carry it on his shoulder. He'd fix it where it couldn't wander away. We're so prone, we're just like sheep. The Bible likens us to dumb sheep. And when we get to that point in place, hey, we want to go in our own way. A lot of times the shepherd has to deal with us. He has to chasten us. He has to get us to that point in place in our life, hey, where we're willing to follow Him. It's sad, most people never learn how to follow the shepherd. Hey, we're stubborn. We don't want to be told what to do. Hey, we don't want to be guided. And we're all made of the same stuff. I mean, there's just something in a man that nobody's going to tell us what to do. Without a shepherd to guide them, they'll not find the green pastures that they're looking for, and they'll seek out a source of water that won't be fitting to drink. And that's the way a lot of Christians are, that's unwilling to follow the shepherd, hey, through the Word of God. And they go their own way, and they get in trouble, and then they wonder what happened. It's a whole lot easier just to get in line and follow the shepherd. He won't lead them into paths of danger. He wants them to go in the right way. But a lot of times we see people that destroy their lives because they're unwilling to follow the shepherd. They want to go in their own way. They want to do their own thing. The reason a lot of people get into these false teachings and these cults and these isms, a lot of times, hey, because they get to look in other places beside the green pastures of the Word of God, hey, that the Bible gives us, that God has given us to order our steps by. We're talking about following the steps of Jesus. No better safety in a person's life than they get in line and follow in the steps of Jesus this morning. We don't like to admit it, but we're just like sheep. We like to go in our own way. And I watch them sheep. You know, no sheep gets dirty. Out in the pasture, they're not cared for like the sheep were in the Middle East around here. They throw them out in the pasture somewhere. They get to looking nasty looking. When they get all that wool and everything, there's nothing attractive about a sheep. I mean, you look at them, even when they're clean and they're sheared, they're still not a pretty animal. But we're just like sheep. We want to go in our own way. We want to do our own thing. We want to be left alone. We don't want no shepherd over us. We want to do our own thing. God created us and He knows the similarities that we share with sheep this morning. He knows what we need to keep us in line. Hey, God knew, hey, that we needed a shepherd and that we, if we were going to survive in this world in which we live in, and this morning if we look across this land, there's so many people, hey, that are without a shepherd. They're going in their own way. And this world's in a mess. People's lives, people that go to church, hey, their lives are in a mess. Because most of them, Brother Darrell, they don't want a shepherd. They don't want to follow the shepherd. They don't want to follow in the steps of Jesus. We want to take the path of least resistance. We want to go in our own way. And it may seem like a path of least resistance a lot of times, but you watch down the road somewhere where that path leads. It'll lead into a life of sin. That's why it's so important to teach the holiness and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a holy, consecrated, dedicated life. You know why there's so many illegitimate children in the churches? Because people don't want to follow. And I sure am glad that those kids are being born. Don't you get me wrong. Don't go off and say that I don't. But I'm going to tell you, if that mama had listened, and that daddy, there wouldn't be so much of that going on today. Paul told Timothy, he said, flee fornication. If they'd have fled fornication, they wouldn't have got in that mess that they're in. If we stand against things like that, with our families and our kids, it wouldn't be as bad as it is today. Hey, we've all been touched by it. It's in our family. It's in your family. But it all boils down to one thing. We don't want to follow the steps of Jesus. Jesus, He preached when He was here. He called them out. He told them where all those things come from. It come out of your mind. This mind. I mean, when we're not falling in the steps of Jesus like we should, this mind is hard to control enough when you're falling in the steps of Jesus, let alone when you get it out from following the steps of Jesus. Who are you following this morning? Are you following Jesus? Are you following the shepherd? The Lord desires that we live our lives as He lived His. It's no accident, I believe, that Peter concludes these thoughts here If we are to imitate the life of Christ, then we must be led by Him. If you're going to live a Christian life, you're going to have fallen steps of Jesus. It's hard to pattern your life after one that you're never around or know nothing about. You look at going to most churches this morning, you look, and people, there's more things that's more important to them than being in church today. More things that are more important. They don't know nothing about Jesus. They think they know everything. I've had them sit here. I've had them sit in here and while I'm preaching and on their phone, and they wasn't paying a lick of attention to what I said. I know, I can see. I got two eyeballs. And I got two good ones now. I can see a whole lot better than I used to could. It's hard to follow someone that you don't know anything about. You know how we learn to hunt and fish and do the things that we do? Play golf, following somebody. Watching them. We were fishing, Daniel and Brother Darrell, in the Gulf. Me and Debbie, Mother and Daddy, and Darrell and Angela Holloway. And they told us how to fish. Follow instructions. So if it bites, don't jerk it. We're not bass fishing. If you're bass fishing, you're going to jerk it, you know. And we got a tendency, we live around here, we're going to jerk it. They said, just reel it up. They got them old gnarled hooks, and them hooks, when you start reeling it up, it'll hook them. Well, Darrell, once the rod started being, he'd grab it and he'd jerk it. He did that several times, didn't he? That first mate, now he liked to catch fish. He knew how to catch fish. He knew what to do. He knew what to tell you to do. And about the third time that rod started like that, and Darrell went to grab it, he said, "Don't you touch that rod." He wanted to catch every one of them fish that we got a bite off of. And they later on told me, one of them said, "You follow instructions real well." I said, "Well, if you tell me what to do, I can follow instructions." But you know, the average person cannot follow instructions. They will not follow. They can follow instructions, but they will not follow instructions. Now, I could have jerked them things and not caught no fish, but I listened to them. And I watched and I seen it would work because I seen Darrell jerk it out of their mouth. But we'd just start reeling. We'd have them big old amberjacks on. We caught fish. People, if they'll follow, if they'll listen to instructions, they can have a good life, or you can go your own way and you can have a bad life. If you don't pay attention, if you don't listen to what's going on, and you go in your own way, and you refuse to follow in the steps of Jesus, Jesus has set the answer, the direction, and we need to get in that book and have communication with Him, have a time fellowship with Him. Hey, be in church, listen to the preaching, listen to the Sunday school teacher. Darrell has been teaching some good Sunday school lessons in Habakkuk. That's a good book. It's one of the minor prophets, but I'm going to tell you, hey, what it's talking about is not minor. He talks about reviving us. Hey, we need reviving. We need revival in this land. If we don't start listening, we don't start paying attention, and we don't follow in the steps of Jesus, we're not going to have revival. One preacher said most churches couldn't stand revival. Said if they had revival, most of their tools would have to go back to the workplace. Poor people stolen from their employer. Stealing time is just as important, just as bad as stealing tools. You know why you can't get weighed on restaurants most of the time now? People don't want to work. Falling in the steps of Jesus. He was our sacrifice. He was our substitute. He provided our salvation. He provided our settlement. And most importantly, if you're saved this morning, He's your shepherd. You might not follow Him, but He's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. And we're to live for the Lord in a way that pleases Him. And if we're going to please Him, we've got to allow Him to guide our lives. We must allow Him to be the shepherd of our souls and heed His voice. Our only hope this morning, as individuals, as Christians, as those who are saved by the grace of God, is to keep our eyes on the shepherd and follow Him. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. Lord, we thank You for the guidance that we can get from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us that are here. We know we're few in number, but help us to purpose in our hearts, Lord, that we're going to follow You. Lord, we're going to suffer patiently. Lord, if it comes to that suffering, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to just be faithful in the area of patience. Lord, help us not to grumble. Help us not to complain. Lord, help us to look to You. And help us, Lord, in the days that lies ahead to follow Your steps and to follow Your pattern as we go through this life. We love You and we thank You again for this congregation, for this church. Thank You for those that's watching this morning, Lord. I pray that You speak to hearts. Have Your way. Go with us. Meet back with us here this evening. We give You glory. We give You praise for all that You do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, amen.